Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 6. Crucial cautions for the relationship with riches. Topic E. The deceitfulness of riches associated with the trade of souls, the Word of God, and Christians, Part 2. Advancing here yet a little more about trade associated with the deceitfulness of riches that we saw in the previous topic, a second aspect of this corrupted trade is that which involves attempts to commercialize the Word of God. That is, an aspect also called by Paul as peddling or selling the Word of God, and whose attitude Paul never adopted in his life because it was not based on sincerity nor an appropriate posture before God, as follows. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, human beings have a very elevated longing for the word of God. This is also why corrupt trade sees a big opportunity for spurious profit in the use of God's word. One of the aspects that most attract traders are the products for which there is a great demand by people, but also regarding which people have a great attraction or need, making them see in the Word of God an abundance of aspects that they think may favor them if they come to market it. Nevertheless, although many people see the commercialization of the Word of God as a great attraction for their commercial activities, a person can only justly commercialize a product if one has authorization from the owner of the product to do so. And in this sense, traders of the Word of God incur unrighteousness, for its owner does not call people to sell it. So, something interesting to note about the traders, marketers, or merchants of the Word of God is that they try to emphasize that they are indeed offering the true Word of God, but, at the same time, they do not address the aspect that the Word of God, being of God, also belongs to God and that they would need God's endorsement to commercialize it. On the one hand, traders of the Word of God seek to assert categorically that the Word is really from God. On the other hand, however, when it comes time to charge their consumers for it, they shamelessly act as if they had authorization and domain over the copyright to be able to sell it, which, in fact, they do not have. What they actually practice is an inappropriate trade because they are marketing a product they have not been authorized by the Lord to do so in the way they do it. Furthermore, also because the Word of God belongs to the Lord, there are merchants who try to disguise the commercialization of the Word of God by claiming that they are not marketing the Word of God itself but charging, with high profits, only the price of its distribution. Therefore, when the Scriptures declare that the Word of the Lord is the Word of God, they are also saying that it is the property of God, including in this condition all the rights of the Lord over His own Word and over how this Word should be or may be passed on or distributed. In their eagerness to commercialize the Word of God, and in order not to be perceived as commercializing what does not belong to them and for which they are not authorized to do so, many who want to make profits through the commercialization of this word try to claim that what they charge is only the mediation they carry out so that the Word of God reaches people. In trade, there are direct transactions between producers and buyers, but it is also known that there are merchants who intermediate trade and who charge for the intermediation service. And just as there can be producers who carry out appropriate trade in their products, so too can there be intermediary merchants who benefit the parties involved in the trading of their products. On the other hand, there may also be several intermediary merchants who are not attentive to what is appropriate to be practiced regarding the producers they represent, for they only focus on the aspect that there are products to sell. They may be more interested that there are products for their business than the specific products or people involved at the ends of that trade, producer and consumer. Still looking at the text of Revelation that we saw in the previous topic about corrupted trade, We can note that one of the words used with accentuated emphasis by merchants is the word merchandise, for it is with it that the merchants mentioned in the text conduct many inappropriate trades. Thus, unfortunately, for many people, the Word of God is another merchandise, commodity, or product with which they intend to do their business directly or through intermediation, and where the higher interest is in doing profitable business and not observing whether their actions are according to the very word they want to market. In a way, the scriptures even allow us to use the analogy of the Word of God as a product, but the problem with the trade of corrupted merchants is the value of the price they want to attribute to the Word of God or to the means by which they want to make its delivery, not respecting the way the Lord determined that His Word should be distributed, according to the texts below in the context of symbolizing the heavenly gifts of God. Isaiah 55, 1. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Revelation 21, 6. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In a sense, our very lives have been purchased by the Lord. As they were sold for the practice of sin into the bondage of sin, they needed to be also redeemed with a price. And when a person sells one's soul to some form of commerce, one has, in a sense, become a product of the one to whom one sold oneself. Nevertheless, the only one who paid the price that can effectively redeem a soul from subjection to sin and eternal perdition was the Lord Jesus Christ, who does not allow another price to be charged for what he has already done once and for all, just as he does not authorize anyone to demand material prices in exchange for announcing or preaching what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Romans 7, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Revelation 5, 9. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll, and to open its seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed, or bought, us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. 1 Corinthians 6, 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 7, 23. You were bought at a price, do not become slaves of men. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Romans 10, 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All souls are by right of Christ Jesus, by right of creation and by right of redemption. Only the Lord can save all souls, for only He has every right acquired over all of them by having paid a very high price for them. Therefore, since the Lord Himself does not impose a price on people to receive His salvation for which He paid with His own blood, much less will he authorize other individuals to commercialize for a price what from heaven is offered to all people through the grace of God. And returning again to the Word of God, even if the expression of selling it is used in the Scriptures, we see that the way instructed by the Lord for it to be passed on to people in the world always refers to being carried out through free offering or sharing or the transfer without charging a price for it. Selling something whose price is priceless, and yet not charging a price for it, is an action equated with giving. It is the same as a gift or the act of donating something to others who want to receive it. For this reason, saying that the Word of God should be passed on by grace, free of charge, or sold without a price being charged are synonymous ways of expressing the same act. The trade that comes to have its target in material enrichment by passing on the word of God to others ends up becoming an agent contrary to the grace of God, for it tries to pervert the way whose owner of the heavenly word established for it to be distributed and granted. Phrases like "if some advice were good, it would not be given for free" are heavily used by corrupted trade. However, God gave His Son to the world, the Son who is the expression of the Heavenly Father's righteousness, knowledge, and wisdom. Now, corrupted trade, on the other hand, cannot see donation, grace, or gift as something good and profitable, as it resists understanding that it is more blessed to give than to receive. The trade associated with the deceitfulness of riches views the act of giving with contempt because it sounds like one of the biggest competitors to its evil enrichment intentions. Corrupted trade is shrewd and very eager to have goods on hand to bargain with. And when they run out of them, they try to turn into commercial merchandise even what should never be considered merchandise to be sold at a commercial price. And going even further than the fact that corrupted trade seeks to present the Word of God as merchandise to be sold for a price, if this does not look good to possible buyers, it even presents a corrupted and adulterated Word under the banner of being of God to be attractive for sale or to try to justify its corrupt actions. So, as we have already mentioned above, if even the adulterated Word is not accepted, the trade associated with the deceitfulness of riches still seeks to transform the means of delivering the word into merchandise so that, through these means, it may, in some way, obtain the desired profits and enrichment. Nevertheless, we recall here again that all these actions are abominations in the eyes of the Lord and against the direction that God established so that His word, the truth, His instructions and His teachings are passed on to the people of the world, as also exemplified in the conducts narrated in the texts below. Micah 3:9-11. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, and say, "Is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us." Jeremiah 23:16-32. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless, they speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, 'The Lord has said, you shall have peace,' and to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, 'No evil shall come upon you.' For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places, so I shall not see him? Says the Lord, do I not fill heaven and earth? Says the Lord. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Says the Lord. Is not my word like a fire? Says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. On the other hand, as trade also is established by agreement between those who offer the goods and those who want or agree to acquire them, it may also happen that buyers are the cause of the emergence of some merchants of the word taken as the word of God, for these are willing to pay to hear what pleases them even if it is contrary to the truth, as Paul warned Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. God grants his word not for a price and freely gives it to those who desire and want to receive it. However, God never changes or will change his word to say what the listeners want to hear in their evil lusts. The word of God is the truth, it is good, and it is perfect. And the Lord freely gives it to all who thirst and hunger for it. However, the Lord never tampers with his word to please a person who wants to hear it distorted and adjusted to one's personal interests. 1 Peter 1:23-25. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So, those who want to merchant or peddle the word of God, when their target audience is not willing to pay for the free word of the Lord, create the most diverse versions that customers want or want to hear, as long as they pay for the versions designed to fit their ears. The Lord Jesus Christ prophesied that many, because of vile and unscrupulous interests, will come with false proposals announcing that they speak in his name. However, when doing so through commercial strategies, they also denounce themselves and the distorted and corrupted intentions that there are in their hearts, even though they claim loudly to be acting in the name of God. And in light of this, we can see, then, that the attempt to use the word of God for corrupt interests occurs in every generation, but it also denounces what is behind those who act in this way. In commercial interests regarding God's word, many wolves dressed in sheep's clothing end up exposing who they really are. Something interesting also about the fables that Paul refers to in his epistles is that these fables are not exclusively those that are told by the Gentiles or so-called pagan peoples, but are mainly those that are extracted from the scriptures themselves and manipulated by greedy interests of those who want to gain improper gain through the supposed spreading of the scriptures. And for this, these are seen as targets of severe rebuke in the eyes of the Lord. Titus 1:13-14. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. Mark 7:9. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. In addition to the above, the content of the theme rightly dividing the word of truth may also help for a broader understanding of the inadequate propositions associated with the fables mentioned above. If the reader has access to it and is willing to read or reread it, we understand that it may also be helpful at this point. Thus, the commerce of Bibles and so-called Christian books in contemporary times is shamefully impressive. and much of what has been done in these practices of commercializing the Word of God or what is called by the merchants the Word of God is cause for deep sadness in the heart of any genuine and sincere Christian. However, this is not the only form of commercialization of the Word of God that has been widely practiced in this generation, for what to say about the number of seminars, courses, events, meetings, retreats, pilgrimages, shows, prophetic conferences, and all sorts of actions, idolatries, and paraphernalia that have become means of obtaining profits for those who elaborate and commercialize them. Just by way of example, prophecy is a gift that may be a regular part of the encounters that Christians have with other fellow believers, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given by God to be distributed freely among Christians. They are gifts for the edification, by the grace of God, of those who meet as God's family to enjoy a fellowship of love, and not for commercial meetings to sell and buy the product gifts to be practiced among those who have been redeemed by heavenly grace. The proclamation of the Word of God, as well as the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, are not items for carrying out commercial meetings for the sale and purchase of products that God proposes to give free of charge to all. The kind of meetings in which the merchants often still try to hide their vile commerce under the banner of only asking for voluntary offerings for prophecies or manifestations of gifts that they claim to have received from the Lord to share with others. Therefore, the mentality of undue trade seeks to corrupt the proclamation of the Word of God, but also the manifestations of the gifts and goodness of the Lord, trying to attribute prices and taxes to them, but obviously, not always calling them prices or taxes for the granting of gifts. In their subtle attempts to conceal the practice of commerce, many make only a demand for voluntary offerings so that, in their parlance, the gifts may flow or may be distributed. And these last actions, only with other packaging or using more indirect and even more subtle terminologies, are equivalent to the same posture of Simon, already exemplified earlier, and who wanted to purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit with money. Under the veil of feigned humility, vile trade greatly appreciates using the banner of asking for voluntary offerings, making use, however, of the expedient of inflicting embarrassment and threats towards those who do not adhere to their appeals of voluntary offerings. And here again, we can see the contrary position of these individuals to the will of God, for in what part of the Scriptures do people find the prophets, who truly served God, charging money to deliver the Word of God that was entrusted to them by the Lord to be announced to their compatriots or even to other peoples? It was only among corrupt priests and prophets that the practice of announcing the Word of God in exchange for demanding prices was made, besides which, in most of these cases, also the word they announced was no longer the Word of God indeed, but creations of their puffed up and proud minds. And in addition to the last question above, which writers of the Bible claimed financial and copyright gains on their writings of the words that they received from God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? On the contrary, the writings of the writers of the texts contained in the Bible were words and letters to brothers, sisters, and friends, and not means of carrying out commerce as is done in many literary spheres of the world. Their writings were words of encouragement for faith in God, exhortations, rebukes, or good news from God to God's people, and never associated with price or any kind of trade. That is, who writes a love letter to their siblings, family, and friends for money or to extort them? Thus, when we look more specifically at Paul's various letters to Christians or the children of God, we see how much he also emphasized the point of writing to them not for a price to show his position contrary to those who wanted to trade the Word of God or those who despised the idea that anything good could be bestowed upon them simply by heavenly grace. In opposition to the subtlety of the operation of the deceitfulness of riches associated with the trade of the Word of the Lord, Paul warned several of those to whom he sent his letters to review the preference they had for receiving the word for payment or the price of natural resources. For in this attitude, they could expose themselves precisely to corrupted announcers of the word of the Lord and who were causing others to be scandalized in Paul precisely because he did not peddle or commercialize the word. In opposition to the vile working of the attempts to commercialize the word of God, Paul warns the recipients of his letters to be careful not to become like those who received false workers with praise and an open heart precisely because they did not work by grace, but under the concept of charging for the word they preached, as exemplified below. 2 Corinthians 11, 2-20. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted, because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you, and in need, I was a burden to no one, for what I lacked the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you. God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. As described in this last text, we can see that the attempt to deceive Christians is in the context of preaching the Word of God, that is, preaching the Gospel. And here, again, we ask, why is it so frequent that there are so many false apostles, envoys, who are willing to present themselves as transformed into ministers of righteousness? Why are people so interested in presenting themselves in a false way precisely regarding the gospel of grace? In response to the questions above, we can see, also concerning the matters pointed out above, that many people give themselves up to false calls or that do not come from God because of the profits they envision being able to obtain from listeners willing to pay them for what they would not need and should not pay. A way of acting that can also be seen as the aim of some to enslave others to try to eat and devour the flesh of the sheep of the flock, which is a practice that some have sought to do for a long time and which the Lord has always considered reproachable, as we can see in another text of the prophet Ezekiel shown below. Ezekiel 34, 10. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. So, attempts to trade the word of God may even begin by announcing the words of the scriptures. However, in the sequence, they will also always advance to the attempts of falsifying the true word of truth, for only with false simulation, dissimulation, and illusions can they manage to prolong the operation of trading their corrupted words as if they were the word of God for a more extended period. These actions of falsifying the word or the actions of those who falsely present themselves as apostles, calling themselves anointed or sent by Christ, are the so-called hypocrisies, from which we have already seen that the Lord Jesus Christ exhorts us to abstain first of all, according to the text that we repeat below. Luke 12, 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." We also recall here, according to the comments associated in the online Bible with Strong's lexicon, that the word hypocrisy is presented to us as dissimulation or as the performance of actors on their presentation stages. And since dissimulation is based on deceit or the concealment of the truth, the dissimulators can also quickly come to see themselves involved with the desire to be recognized and rewarded for their dissimulations, even if by means that operate apart from the truth. The performance on stages and elevated platforms to deceive people about God and His Word, the Pharisees' avarice and contempt for the simplicity of faith that is in Christ and His grace already walk side by side for many centuries and have become highly evident since the days when Christ was revealed to the world, as we can also see in the next text. Luke 16, 13-14. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. Therefore, Colossians 2, 6-9. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.